Jovi, compulsive gambler. Thank you to everyone in here for giving back service. You help me stay healthy and well. I protect today and 8,400 days ago, which was June 3rd, 2003. Happy 24 years to my brother who kept the light on for me before I got here. It's amazing. Let's see. You gonna put that timer up for me? All right, thank you. All right, I'm just going to start. I never prepare anything for speaker meetings since probably my second one when I was 2 years in. And I just asked God to let the words be His carried through with my voice. So we'll see where that takes us today. Starting off, as a young person, I was born in 1967, few days after Thanksgiving in 1967, to a family that completely wanted me and loved me. And I don't have a lot of memories. I had a childhood trauma. My dad got very sick in 1974, and he passed away in 1975 while I was 7 years old. And trauma kind of blocked out a lot of the memories. So for those years, I rely on pictures and breakthrough memories that have come through, stories that others have told me. My dad, before he passed, he was a politician, so a lot of people knew who he was. And so I heard stories of him regaled to me my entire life. So I feel like I got to know him through everyone's eyes and got a really good picture of who he was. I was born in a family where I have an older sister. She's 6 years older than me. And after my dad died, my mom was beautiful, smart, funny, and quite a catch. And it didn't take her very long to find someone that I think my dad kind of handpicked for her from the heavens above, because he had really big shoes to fill and he filled them perfectly. And he wanted me too. And he raised me as his own from the time that I was 9 years old. And I came from a very loving family, Italian family, very hardcore Italian family. We were taught, to be the loudest in the room, that we were the leaders, we were never followers. We were just, and hardcore, like Italian was the best. I was taught that Italian was the best. But I also was taught some things, like what happens in this house stays in this house. As long as the outside world thinks that we're a great family, that's all that matters. Gambling was totally acceptable growing up. Like, I thought it was like loving that my grandparents took me to the horse races in California at Santa Anita and Hollywood Park, and that my grandpa would hide me behind his big coat and let me pull the one-armed bandits when we'd go to Las Vegas together and pick the keno numbers. And he said that I was really lucky that I was born with a golden horseshoe up my rump. And he would take me everywhere with him. What do you think? Who do you think? What do you feel? And it was acceptable. They did it at my church. Gambling was just something that was part of growing up. It didn't show up in a way that was negative. In fact, I didn't realize that anything was really negative going on in my life because I came from love. I suffered trauma, but I was always loved, and I lived pretty easy life. I mean, I went to private schools. I got the car at 16. It was loved. My parents showed up for me. So I never once thought that I was acting inappropriately because I shared a little bit about it today, and I love the readings, how they show up. I always thought that the opposite of love was hate. So I, of course, was still, like, I thought in my mind, like a loving, great person, And things just happened to me that weren't supposed to happen to me. They say the road to hell is paved with great intentions. Like, I never got up and thought, oh, let me do wrong to this person. So it was hard for me to understand that everything that I was doing from that moment of that trauma, when it hit me, came in fear, the very opposite of love. All of the decisions that I made from the time that I was 7 years old, I don't even have memories leading up to that. The very first memory I have is saying goodbye to my dad while he was still in the casket, my mom lifting me up to kiss his forehead, fearful. And so all the decisions that I made from that point on stemmed from there, but I never saw it that way. never saw the opposite of love as being fear. I never saw me as the main common denominator in any equation where my life was bad, because it was just life, you know? And so I went through my life and made good choices and made bad choices, but made them all out of fear. And I ended up, for some reason, wanting to desperately leave that very special home that my parents loved me in and took care of me. And I don't know why I needed to leave so desperately bad. I had it so good. I look back now, I don't know what it was. But as someone who I can see now and observe in a very, very clear way, like I can look back like the movie of my life and see in a very clear way, I just, I wasn't being fulfilled through love. I was being fulfilled through other people, other ways. And so I seeked out something that wasn't good for me. You know, I seeked out a relationship that was not good for me. I had stayed like this, you know, sweet little girl until I was a senior in high school. And then I don't know what happened after my prom. I went crazy. And shortly after that, I met this guy who was older than me. I never saw him as being abusive. Everyone else around me did. And I don't know why I chose him and why I defended him as much as I did. And the day that I ended up marrying him, that man that raised me, he stood in the back of the church and he said, if you don't want to marry him, I'll go tell everybody that you changed your mind. Get in the limo and go. And I was like, what are you talking about? I love him. And again, the clear lens looking back, you know, it was solely to have these two beautiful, amazing souls that came into my life, my daughters, who today are 33 and 34 years old. But I knew shortly after I had had my first child, I knew that I could not be with this man because I was not unaware of the abusive relationship that I was in. And I had kind of made a decision that I refused to raise a daughter being in an abusive situation. I came from strong women. I wanted to show my daughter a strong woman. And so I made an attempt to leave him and found out that I was pregnant. Like that 1.5% chance that you have when you're on the pill, that's me. And I didn't find out that I was pregnant until I was like 3 months along. And I've been taking the pill every day and having this little baby and working. And my ex-husband worked 9 days in our almost 10 years of marriage. So I worked a lot. I worked up until the day that I had my second daughter. I worked 36 hours after she was born. Who does that? Looking back now, I go, oh, a sick person, an addict, a sick mind, someone living in fear, someone that doesn't make decisions based on the next right indicated thing and has no history of doing that. That's who makes decisions like that. You know, and I did finally leave him. And because I was such a good worker, see, again, I can look back and see how God sets everything up the way it's supposed to be. Supposed to meet the man, supposed to have the kids, and then you are supposed to be a hard worker. You're supposed to, you know, bring your own hoe to this garden and make sure that your flowers grow. And for years, I had waited on this guy. And I knew who he was because back then there was like the E! True Hollywood Story. And he was always like the divorce attorney to the stars, you know. And I would ship. I don't know how or why I was always so open with my tables. Again, looking back, sick person, didn't know what she was doing. And I shared a lot with my tables, especially my regulars. And he wanted to help me out. This barracuda of a lawyer wanted to help me out. I didn't have a pot to piss in. I could barely take care of my kids and pay my rent on my little apartment. And he wanted to help me out, and so he did. And I got my divorce, and I got my kids, 99% legal custody, 100% physical custody. And I moved them to Las Vegas, where my parents had moved. And I thought I was starting new. I came in there, I renamed myself. My given name is Jolene. And I love when people think that I was named after the country western song, because that makes me like 7 years younger than I am. So that's when people ask, I still have a trouble with not telling the lie. I just want to go, yes. And the truth is, there was just too many Josephines in our family, and I was supposed to be a boy. Surprise! They didn't have those tests back then. And my dad carried an ugly spinster shoe in his shoe store that he had, and it was called the Jolene shoe. So I've named after a very ugly spinster shoe. So I like the label of Jolene, the Dolly Parton kind of not so good lady, over the spinster shoe. But regardless, I rebranded myself and came out there as Jolene. And I didn't even take a job in the same position. I was a bartender and a server and a bartender for years, and I took a job in sales. So I was gonna remake myself. But I didn't leave myself behind. I brought myself with me. It's the one thing that I forgot to leave behind is the 6 inches that are in here. And so I started making decisions based in fear again. And I really didn't have any money, because along with that 100% physical custody and 99% legal custody came this small little amount of $240 a month child support for both of my kids, which we all know, even back then, really was nothing. But you can't get anything when someone doesn't make anything. So after I moved in with my parents, I told them it's just for 6 months. I'm going to move back to California in 6 months. I'm just rebranding myself. I'm going to get myself on my feet. There's kind of been a black cloud following me around for a really long time, and I'm just going to get out from underneath it. Again, not realizing that my own decisions based in fear were the black cloud that kept following me around, little decisions here and there, here and there, here and there. And I remember going with her to go to the local grocery store. I had a very small amount in my checking account. And my mom's habit was to go gamble. And in Las Vegas, you can just walk into a grocery store and sit down at a machine and play video poker right there. They used to be in front of the cashiers. You couldn't even check out without mentally playing, because they were right there. Now they're in this separate room. The law came in, and they're in a separate little room. You walk by them, but you don't see them all the time. And I said, "Oh, I can't play." And she said, "I'll give you the money. And if you win, you just give me back what I give you." And I did. I won that first day. More money than I had seen in my checking account my whole entire adult life. And I was like, "This is amazing. We just came here to get fudgesicles. Oh my God. This is just the coolest thing ever." And for a little while it was, you know? I was had no intention of meeting anybody. And I was working at this sales job. I had been there for 6 weeks. And my boss, her husband, worked with this guy, and she wanted to set me up on a blind date. And I was like, "I don't know. I really don't want to meet me. I have two young kids. I come with a lot of baggage. Recently divorced. I wasn't even actually divorced. My divorce was still not completely finalized. No, I take that. The divorce was final. I was still paying off the divorce lawyer. Not a lot, because he didn't charge me a lot, but he let me pay him like $20 a month. So it took me a long time to pay him off. And I met my husband, the husband that's upstairs right now, who tomorrow will celebrate 20 years in this program, this beautiful program. I met him on a blind date. It was my first blind date I'd ever been on, my last first date that I've ever been on, and or that I've been on. And I didn't realize at the time that sick people were meeting sick people, because he seemed so normal to me. And if you would have asked me back then, I was normal. I thought I came from a very functional family. Because I was loved. Because I had things. Because I was never hurt by my family. I knew I had had an abusive relationship, and so I had that to compare it to. Like, my ex-husband used to beat me. That didn't happen when I was growing up. I thought I had like the balance of what I knew what it was, but I really didn't. And as addicts, even as baby addicts, as we're becoming advanced in our disease, I know for me, I wear so many masks that it'd be hard for you to know exactly who I am up front. And so it was really difficult for me to see anything other than a healthy person that was there. And he seemed like, looking back now, he seemed crazy. Like, he met this woman with two kids and had them move in with him. He was a bachelor for a really long time. He drove like a Cadillac Eldorado. I remember the day he traded it in for a minivan. The man looked like he was a deflated balloon. He was like, "Oh my God, he just went from an Eldorado to a minivan." Like, I could see him going, "What am I doing?" And once again, everything was really organic and great. Like, he raised my children and continues to today as though he was their birth father. They refer to him as dad, daddy. My granddaughter didn't even know that he wasn't her biological grandfather until COVID. There was no reason to, because there's no presence of anyone else, and this man was always there. And he came from a good family. We were able to get through a lot right away, and he gave me everything that I wanted. I had worked all these years when I was married to that first husband, and he said, "Well, why don't you stay at home with the kids? I make enough money. Why don't you just be a stay-at-home mom?" And I was like, "Wait a minute, maybe I can do that." And so then I thought, well, let me get involved because I can't just do nothing, because I'm one of those people that works like, 10, 15 hours a day. I can't just do nothing. So let me just start to get involved. And so the way that I got involved was I would bake things, I would bring things to the school, I would be a woman that would sit in the rooms with them. But all the time I would do that, I would drop them off to school, and my habit had become dropping them off early, going to gamble at the 7-Eleven, coming back, doing what I needed to do, stopping at the market, going to gamble a little bit at the market, coming back, picking them up, and then coming home, and depending on how I felt, maybe making dinner, maybe telling my husband, "Oh, let's take the kids to Kids Quest at the casino and go eat out, and we'll go gamble, or let's just go to the buffet because we have points and we can take turns getting up to go gamble." And everything just started revolving around gambling. I didn't see it that way at first. It was just fun. It was just something I did before I dropped off the kids. And then I thought, well, this school really needs a PTA president because they don't have anybody working on this PTA. And so I decided, with that Italian upbringing, you're a leader, don't be a follower. Nobody else wanted to be on the PTA. There wasn't another parent that wanted to be on it. So I was president, vice president, secretary, and treasurer. The only other people on the PTA was the principal and one teacher. And so I was tasked with a lot of responsibility, and it wasn't long before I started stealing money, embezzling money, practicing writing another member's name to a check. And before I knew it, gambling was making every decision for me. I was dropping the kids off super early, gambling all day, putting dirty clothes in the dryer and flushing the toilets that I had Pine Sol in it. When my husband came home to say, "I'm really tired, I've been cleaning all day," he heard the dryer, the house smelled clean, let's go out. It just, everything progressed. It was still kind of the same, but everything had progressed where it was making absolutely every decision for me so subtly I never even saw the fun stopping. Didn't even know I ran over and crossed the line. And then, push comes to shove, and I didn't get caught, but I was gonna, because we got a new principal, and she was like, "How can this person have all this responsibility?" And so I went to them and told them what I was doing, and they said, "Well, we're gonna have you arrested." And I was like, "What? Don't you know who I am? I'm really a good person. I'm going to pay back all the money." And I did. And that's really, I didn't. My husband did at the time. And the judge told me, I had to go to GA meetings, and I had to go to at least three of them a week. And so I went to my first GA meeting on June 3rd, 2003. It was a birthday party for Joni T. She had a 1-year birthday in Las Vegas. Birthdays are a really big deal. And I had not only contemplated, but tried to take my life. Because it was probably better for my family than having to deal with coming to see me in a 5x5. Bring my kids to prison to see me. And they taught me how to work through each and every day, how to get through no matter what the outcome was going to be. And the outcome for me was not prison, it was not jail, it was community service. It was 2 years that I was judicially motivated to go to Gamblers Anonymous. By the time that the 2 years was coming due, I really wanted to be there. I had gotten involved, heavily involved. I was finding myself more and more present in my family's life. I was finding myself more and more present in my life. I was learning that the difference of living the way that I did had everything to live in love. And people in that first meeting told me, "Let me love you until you can love yourself." I was like, "Oh, you're the most important person in the room, JoJo." And I was like, "How is that? It's Joni T's birthday. She's the most important person in the room." They're like, "Oh, no, you are." And they loved me until I could learn how to love myself. And slowly but surely, things started to shift. And the shift was fear into love. Decision-making based with loving myself and then being able to love others around me. And before I knew it, decisions were getting so much better in my life. Again, without really me even being aware of it. I was the last person to ever see anything growing. So 20 years ago today, I was thinking like, God, this guy that I'm married to is really like We're just not connecting anymore. We're just not really, because I had been busy working on my own self for almost 3 years, you know? For the next day would be my 3 years. I was busy working on my recovery. My sponsor taught me not to try and fix my husband, not to try and fix my kids, to work on my recovery. She really kept me grounded in me. And so I guess I kind of lived like with a little bit of blinders on, still maybe in fear. I don't know, but didn't see it clearly. And so the night before, 20 years ago, today he came to me and he said, "I'm a compulsive gambler. I've been stealing from our company." And I was like, "What? What haven't you heard?" You know? And I wanted to throw his stuff out the window. And my sponsor, who I had from the second week that I was in program, who had taken me through the steps, who spoon-fed me everything, she said, after she heard me talk, she goes, "What? Did your husband just tell you that he was a compulsive gambler?" I said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, how would you treat any other compulsive gambler that told you that they were gambling compulsively? Take your wife cap on, put your GA cap on, stop being a moron, start being a GA member." And I was like, so like 20 years ago, I didn't love June 3rd, 2003. I kind of thought like maybe he ruined my GA birthday for me. And like tomorrow, I can't wait for it. My granddaughter's so excited. She's gonna pin him for his 20th birthday on Saturday when we celebrate. It's like a whole family thing now to be, because my granddaughter's never had to see us in addiction. And my daughters were really young. They were younger than my granddaughter is right now when I came in. And so I've given them more times in recovery. I was waiting for that day when I gave them more in recovery than I ever gave them in my disease. And I was wondering if it would make a difference, and it has. It has truly made a difference. I have two daughters today that if they weren't my daughters, I would choose them to be my friends. Been able to get through two serious illnesses because of this program that both of my daughters had. I was able to walk with my mother through dementia and Alzheimer's and be patient with her because of this program. I got to be a daughter that she didn't even know that she ever even wanted, because this daughter didn't exist. It wasn't like the daughter from before. It was a brand new daughter, and she really honored this program with me. I got to get through my husband coming into recovery and all the things in between. And today, whenever I find myself disturbed, uneasy, feeling stress or anxiety, I know that my brain is in fear. I know that I am not in love. It is like an immediate reaction to me today, like a barometer, like, "This doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel right." Now, I have tools today to get me out of that moment, that conscious contact with my higher power. It is not constant. So I still, in the other moments, hijack my own 6 inches. I hijack my own brain. I see that timer rounding. I'm wrapping it up. And I hijack my own brain. And so in that moment, then I get uncomfortable again. And so it's a rinse, wash, and repeat of using the tools. It's not like I have gotten fixed. But I certainly have ways to deal with all of life's traumas that have come my way since coming into this program, no matter what they are. And I still forget how grateful I am sometimes, even though I live in gratitude. You know, so why do I come back? Why do I do speaker meetings? Why do I need this program today, 8,400 days later, more than I did on day one? Because I still hijack. I still have an ego. I still have fear. There was not some blanket invisibility cloak that came around and I could walk through fear and it doesn't see me. That's not the way it works, you know? But I've learned how to lean into it all, how to accept things that I would never accept, and how to react in love and meet each situation, each person, each place in love, right where they're at, not where I want them to be. And it's not always a perfect solution, but it certainly works when I work it. And so my problem is not working it. And so when asked to give back service, the answer is always yes, unless if I'm physically impossible. So I appreciate the opportunity, especially on a day like today where I can look back and I can go, "Oh, wow, what a difference 23 years ago was today. What a difference 20 years ago was today. What a difference 1 year was ago, like today." You know, it's just such a difference in all of the things that I get to go through. I get to go through present where my feet are if I choose to because of this program. Everything I ever wanted in gambling, I got 10 times more. The things I didn't even know I wanted to gamble. I just had to give up one thing to get everything. And today I'm not willing to give up everything for that one thing. Not today. So I'll keep coming back. I love GA. I have a lot of business left in this room. I will definitely be back, and I love each and every one of you, and I don't want you to do anything about it. Thanks for letting me share.
Wow, JoJo, amazing share again. Thank you so much for your service and your commitment to giving back to us, and just commitment in your program. And it's so nice to have a local member here in Los Angeles area that's also helping so many as well. So thank you for your service. Thank you for your time. And we're not quite done yet, because we have some questions and comments for you, which will always also be recorded. And if you don't want your voice recorded, we spoke about that earlier, please just send myself or one of the co-hosts your question or comment, and we'll be more than happy to ask it for JoJo for you. But we already have a few hands up, and Smokey Joe is first, followed by Frank, and then Sarah. So Smokey, Joseph M., welcome.
Yeah, Joseph M., I got to leave another Joe out. He's by the door. Your buddy, the dog. Okay, go down. You know, the question I have is for you, JoJo. We love you dearly. Okay, last week I was on about 28 meetings. 28 meetings. And the question I have for you is 40 people. I'm not exaggerating either. 40 people out of all the meetings decided that they don't want to take the invitation. That's a new word for me, the invitation. What's the 3 points for you to suggest for you? And God bless your husband on 20 years, too. I know you're very close, like the kingship, like the word in England. So the 3 points for a person that's willing, they're willing, but they don't want to take the invitation to the greatest fellowship around. And I was trustee for 10 years and meet all these beautiful people. Frank was even scared of the dog. Let me in, let me in. He surprised me. And he walked right by the big dog. But so what's the 3 points? We love you dearly, darling. We love you.
Let me just clarify, because I think when you said if they're willing for me, then that's the main point, them being willing. I think, are you asking me if they have a desire, but they're not willing?
They're willing, but not wanting.
Okay.
They have a desire, right. You're 100% right.
Okay. All right. So you know, I actually come across that quite often. I sponsor, as part of my service work back to this program, I sponsor a lot of women. And I often see that, you know, they're obviously in the room. They have a desire on some level. Even if they have been drugged there by a family member, they have a desire to please that family member. So a desire then to fulfill this. But the willingness sometimes doesn't match up. And I like to highlight that. I don't know if it's three specific things, but I like to put a highlight on that for them. I see your desire. I see that you want this program. I see that you're here. I see that you want a life that you're not living today. But I also see that your willingness has not matched up with your desire. So, you know, the one suggestion that I would give them is to look in the mirror and ask themselves each and every day, how willing am I? And then to be able to respond possibly in a way like, I'm willing to be good to you today. Back to the mirror. I'm willing to take care of you today. And then make that commitment. And then they have an action to go back to when the day starts to take over, that they are willing, and they can go back because they've actually done something. But I do put a highlight on the fact that I notice their willingness or their desire, but I also notice that they're not willing to do anything besides have a desire, and it doesn't work like that. So that would be what I would suggest or say to them.
Love you, darling. Love you. Thank you. Have a beautiful day with your husband.
Thank you.
Tomorrow or a couple of days.
Thank you.
It's beautiful. Thank you both for that. And we have a Frank S. on a bike. Next. Hi, Frank.
I'm on a bike and I'm in the rain and I'm next to the Pacific Ocean, just like JoJo is, although I'm in Hawaii. Hi, JoJo.
Hello, no,
everyone. I'm Frank S. Great for recovering compulsive gambling. It really marks 5,612 days since my last bed. And what a glorious day. And Dan, we should have a group conscious, and we'll put in the JoJo rule. Special speakers should be allowed to go for 2 hours. I can listen to you forever. And I've heard you so many times. And I'm just so grateful, again, that you've taken the time to share your experience, your strength, your hope. You know, I get from time to time, it's hard to receive, but I've worked on feeling worthy of it, some accolades for some of the things that I may have done in program. But I'll tell you, I wouldn't be anywhere near here if I didn't have people like JoJo early in my recovery that helped inform who I was and did the service that she's done, and quietly. I'm talking about 15 years ago when I got serious about this program early in my recovery and our Sunday beach meetings. And this woman lived in Las Vegas at the time. Those of you who don't know, it's about 280 miles away. And our beach meetings started at 8 a.m. on Sunday mornings. And she and about four, five, six others of her entourage would come to that meeting on time to be there and to share their recovery with us. You talk about service, you talk about dedication. And there were a few times early on when I was struggling, and there was never time when I would call JoJo and she wouldn't answer it, and she wouldn't help me and give me some comforting, loving support and words of advice and letting me know this too shall pass. And it did pass. And I just want to thank you for all you've done for me, so many people in this program. You've been able to scale yourself by being the most amazing example. And I'm so glad that in the rain here in Hawaii, the first day it rained the entire, I've been here almost 20 days. It was such a glorious feeling to be here to listen to you. And thank you. Thank you for everything you do. And congratulations to you and John tomorrow. And I'd also like to say, Gary L., congratulations on your 24 years. How exciting. Glad that I'm here to be part of all this. Thank you, JoJo. No questions for you. You've given me all the answers that I need.
Well, there's that. And I agree 100%. We should keep the timer going longer. Congratulations again and to both of you and to Gary as well. Everything's in the 20s, 20, 23, 24. So thank you for that. And we have Sarah M is next, followed by Jake. Sarah, you have a question or comment for JoJo? You should be able to unmute. There you go. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, thank you for your service. I'm Sarah M. I'm a compulsive gambler. JoJo, what an awesome share. How could somebody, I know how, honesty, open minds, willingness, because your share, I have so much identification, and we come from two different worlds, two different backgrounds, two different generations, but this disease does not discriminate, and it's the same today as it was yesterday, as it was with Bill W. and Bob, Dr. Bob were here. Wow. You know, when I was, I just celebrated in January. I had 18 years and 4 months, so I'm not that far behind you, but it's so powerful, so awesome. I had the same amount of fear, you know, even from a little girl all the way up. I just kept on identifying with everything. I'm like, how? I never heard her speak like this. Wow. You're such an asset to this program. And I'm grateful that you always reach out. If I reach out to you or you reach out to me, I can't wait to meet you and put my arms around you and give you that big bear hug. So I'm going to give it to you now for tomorrow. And congratulations to you and your husband on your celebration. And I'll be there to sing for you tomorrow if God wakes me up another day. What a powerful share. And thank you for letting me share. Thank you for you sharing.
That was beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. That's beautiful. Jake from England. Hey, Jake, welcome. You're next.
Thank you very much. It is Jack. I know you. I know you know my name's Jack.
I
It's
know,
because it's E. It's because it's
but
E
I
after the
forgot.
Jack. Don't you
I
worry.
remember
Don't
now.
you worry.
Sorry about that, Jack.
No, don't you worry. It's all good. I've had it all my life. Don't you worry. With the first initial being E after my name's not like that, it always comes up. Don't you worry. Yeah, I just wanted to say, JoJo, thank you. It's really powerful for me to hear stories from people who've, got a lifetime of experience. And I don't say this to be rude or anything, but like when you stopped gambling, I was 6 years old. 6, 7 years old. And you've got a lifetime of experience, and for me, that gives me hope. I'm 30 this year. I've got a baby due any day now, literally any day now. And without this program, and without people like you, and the stories that you share, I wouldn't be in the position I am now, where I can be that person and be the father I want to be for my daughter when she's here. Rewind 3 years, 2, 3 years, and that would have just been unthinkable. But since I came into the program, and admittedly, when I first came into the program, it wasn't on my own, off my own accord. I was very much pointed in that direction, shall we say. But sometimes that's what you need. I think I needed that at the start. I needed that, that little bit of a, let's say, encouragement, shall we say, to actually go and experience what the program has to offer, because, this program has quite frankly changed my outlook on life and my life itself. There's stopping gambling, which, we all try and do every single day, but then there's also the character change that comes from within, the different person. I look at myself now and think, and you mentioned in your share, like, you look back and you think, what the hell was I thinking? I think that as well. I can honestly sit here now and think, what the hell was I doing? Like, how did I think this was normal? But the program helps you to understand that that wasn't me. That wasn't me. I was under the influence, or the spell, whatever you want to call it, of this illness, which does terrible things to not only yourself but the people around you. And I'm just going to finish off by saying again, thank you, because hearing stories like yours, people who have been in the program for that amount of time, and the fact that it still works, gives me hope that I can reach that position one day. And for anyone else who is here who may be new as well, or newish in comparison, it's that hope. And I'll just finish by saying the fact that there are 54 other people in here, I think, is a testament to not only the program, but to you as an individual and how powerful your story is. So don't forget that as well. I don't think we've ever actually crossed paths before, but hearing your story tonight has just been, it's been magical. So thank you, honestly.
Listen, that's another beautiful comment. Thank you so much, Jack. It's good to see you and have you with us here. And I agree with everything you said, and then some. George C. George, welcome. Nice that you could make it back in.
Hey,
You're next.
thank you, Dan. Thank you, Jojo, for your share. I'd like if you would please comment on a couple things that are always on my mind. I want to give comments in a meeting, but I refrain from giving comments, not because I'm being selfish, but I just don't feel like I can offer somebody, and frankly, I don't feel good enough to say something about it. The second thing is I don't like to talk about my other addiction in the meeting. If you could comment on either of those, I would appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, comment meetings are interesting. I learned that when I'm going to say something, if I haven't planned what I'm going to say in my head prior, and something comes to me through some universal space, and it's placed upon my heart, it would be a shame if I didn't say it out loud. Especially if it's in a form of kindness and in an observation that projects that. It's important for me to be in that space verbally, not just in my own mind and in my own heart. It's kind of like when you think about someone, they come running through your mind, and you think, oh, I should call that person or text that person, and then you don't, or then I don't. It's like one of those feelings, So when I get those feelings, that's something that that I like to do. And I'm sorry, I have such a good forgetter. I forgot what you said secondly. I think I touched on the first one. What was the second thing you said, George? Maybe.
I like to refrain from talking about my other addiction in a meeting. Any comment on that? If not, I understand.
No, I do actually. You know, I come from a background of Gamblers Anonymous, like a loyal member of Gamblers Anonymous who adheres to the guidance codes and suggested ways of being in Gamblers Anonymous. I'm a past trustee for 2 terms. I'm currently on the Board of Regents. And I agree that when I'm in a GA room, that is what I should speak about. But however, today, in this day and age of recovery, there is so many other areas. Just like on the page where you found this meeting, there's this one Tanga, time in other that isn't gambling is one of them, or time. And then there's one another group that's recently formed called like a connection, not addiction, and it's all types of connections. And I find that in here, the since there isn't like no suggestion about not to read anything that isn't GA approved or appropriate literature or anything like that, I think there's a little bit more of a freedom in some of the Zoom rooms to be able to, and I think in that there's so much identification because very rarely do I find, not like I'm a unicorn or anything like that, but you know, I only claim 1A. I'm available for Gammonon as well because my husband's in this program, but a lot of the times, and a lot of the women that I sponsor have more than 1A that they claim. And so it's such a great way to identify, and it might even be a great way to find the perfect sponsor. Someone who understands the mind of, as opposed to someone who doesn't, you know, because I might be a specialist in heart, like as a doctor in heart, you know, cardiac, but then someone comes to me and they need, you know, podiatry work. I'm not the one for them. But, you know, if I had a dual, maybe I could. So it could also help in that way. So I think just choose where you do it. You know, I'm very loyal to my GA rooms, and I believe in that loyalty because GA, I love GA, and GA saved my life. But these other programs that weren't around have really added layers and more definition to my recovery because people are able to share, and because I've been exposed to things like the Big Blue Book of Alcoholics Anonymous through a study in a gambling room. You know, who knew? And so I think there's a way to combine just appropriately, and this program gives me the way to do that and to see that.
Perfect. I think got both answers. That's great. I do have a comment and a question in the chat. Please ask Jojo if she's accepting any new sponsees. This came from a lady. I'm desperately trying to find one. And please thank her for sharing and that she's going to be listening to your recording again soon. So.
I do have a very full roster of women, but I believe when called upon, I think we should at least talk. So I'm going to put my number in the chat, and then from there we'll see what happens. I also sponsor a great deal of women who have a great deal of time in this program that have worked the 12 steps the way that was instructed to me and the way that I've instructed to them that have room as well. So it might be through a lineage. Maybe it'll be like a grand sponsor or a great grand sponsor. Maybe it'll be as a temporary sponsor or a sponsor. We'll talk and I'll put my number in chat and then you can just get in touch with me. Text me first. So I expect the call and I know the number that it's coming from and I can already have you programmed in my phone. And that way I won't think like you're a scam or some telemarketer that I can just send to voicemail and I'll be able to have a priority on that call. So I'll put that in right now and then you can just contact me outside of the room.
That's perfect. That's perfect. That's service right there. And I, Joe, thank you very much for that. That answers it. And she said, thank you. And actually she said, absolutely great. Thank you. So beautiful. All right. Anybody else that would like to have a comment or a question to ask Jojo, this is the time to do so. Either put your hand up or just, you can, let me take the stick or you can unmute right now and just come right in. If anybody has anything else they would like to say.
And to whomever that was, I'm in California, so Pacific Standard Time, and I'm up early, just to let you know.
Beautiful. Kevin M, nice to see you here. Question or comment for Jojo, Kevin, welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Jojo. My question is like being in early recovery, what is like the most important work you feel that you could do on yourself, that can make the most big impact on your recovery, like outside of going to meetings?
Gratitude list, gratitude list, gratitude list, gratitude list, gratitude list. The suggestion given to me was before I even started working steps, and it's what opened up a huge portal of beautiful opportunities that I would have missed that were always there. And it was described to me to write five things and to think about, because we're all energy, to think about five things that I'm grateful for in the morning, to take pen to paper, not to use an electronic anything, good old-fashioned cathartic pen to paper. You can even take crayon to paper towel, there's no excuses. And to write those things down, that will increase the energy, and then to stand in front of a mirror and to recite them out loud, looking deeply into my eyes. And so I could help to reprogram the neural pathways in my brain to hear things like I'm so grateful for and I'm so blessed by. And then to do that process in the evening. And it was tasked upon me not to, they said, just try it for 2 weeks, see if that works. And I can tell you it does because I've done it for almost 23 years and it still works. And but they told me not to repeat myself. They said, you know, if you're going to be grateful for work, be grateful for something specific. Like, I'm grateful that my work has great coffee. I'm great, you know, and just be, and that way, in the end of 2 weeks, you will have recited 140 different blessings out loud with your own voice, because I'm always listening. And so that's the main thing I could say. And you could do that anytime, and kids could do it. You can teach your kids to do it. My granddaughter does it. And I'll tell somebody if I'm sitting on a bus stop to do it. It's a great tool.
Perfect. Kevin, is that does that sound right? Any other questions with that one? Is you
No, that's perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here, Kevin. Appreciate you. And thank you for Jojo for your answer. Claire D from Scotland.
Thanks, John. Yeah, I just wondered that you said, you'd mentioned like at the start about having that like fail.
What language is that, Dan?
It's all, go ahead, Claire.
sorry, couldn't help but laugh there. Yeah, you mentioned like at the start about that childhood trauma and like losing a parent. Do you think that that contributed to your gambling? And do you struggle with that now that you're in GA? Do you have like any thoughts or like urges? And if you do, how do you deal with that?
Well, I don't think it created an urge in me to gamble the loss of my father at such a young age, but I think what it did is it created a way of life of me living that led down a path that could only lead to numbing myself because I was living in a life that I needed to, like, I couldn't exist in. And so I don't know that it was, I don't know that it urged me on to gamble, but it did urge on each and every decision that I made up into and during gambling, because it really shaped me as a 7-year-old starting life again. And so there's a lot that goes back to it. And as far as urges, you know, I'm pretty blessed. I don't remember the last time that I had an urge to go gamble. Maybe I do. I got to become a ordained minister in this program. Some of my friends nicknamed me the Joji Lama, which makes me laugh all the time. And I was marrying a couple. I had married their parents, and I was marrying the daughter now at this point to her husband. And she got married in a casino in Las Vegas in Sam's Town. And I had been living in California, and I hadn't been in a casino in a long time, like in the smoke and the sounds and stuff. And I remember not being having an urge, but feeling so incredibly uncomfortable, almost like dirty, while I was in there. And as far as urges go, no, I don't really feel them too much today. I do still dream about it though. Occasionally, a dream will come in, and when I wake up, I have to remind myself that I'm in my bedroom, safe and sound, and then give gratitude for another day without a bet.
That's perfect. Thank you for that. I have something in the chat before we move on to Benjamin. Please ask Jojo for me. I want to ask her, since my husband is a compulsive gambler as well, and I am having a hard time understanding him, even though we share the same addiction. Is it advisable for me to join Gammonon too?
Well, I can say that it certainly helped me out in the beginning, but I'm going to give you some suggestions that were given to me from my sponsor and in addition to another couple that was in GA when my husband came in. And there was a few really specific suggestions that they gave me. They told me, one, to only go to one meeting a week with my husband to keep my recovery separate from his. They told me if we're in that one meeting together, not to share after he shares, not to have it like piggyback a share or anything like that, to always have a few shares in between. And the most important thing was they told me to keep on my side of the street, to always keep my GA cap on. Then I could put any cap on that I wanted, wife, mother, daughter, sister, driver, friend, customer, whatever it is. But to always do that and to keep my side of the street clean. And it's really helped. And what it's allowed me to do is be really inspired in the spiritual growth that my husband has, that it inspires me in his mind, body, and soul. The way he takes care of himself has always inspired me. And he doesn't do it by bragging. He doesn't tell me about it. He just does it by showing me. And because I've stayed in my own lane of recovery, I've been able to see it really clearly. So those are the best suggestions. But Gammonon certainly couldn't hurt. You certainly qualify. And maybe try it out and see what you find out from there. Or maybe find other people that are married to people in GA and share with them because they might have similar experiences that can help you get through some of the ones you're going through right now.
Perfect. Thank you. And we move on to Benjamin. Hey, Benjamin, welcome.
Hey everybody, my name is Benjamin W. I'm a compulsive gambler. Jojo, thank you very much for the share. I related a lot to it. I also lost my father when I was young, and a lot of my childhood that's kind of blocked out as well. So I related heavily to that. My question for you would be, well, I'm currently working the steps with a sponsor, and I've just heard time frames as far as how long it would take, and just out of curiosity, what you think is a reasonable amount of time to work through each step. And again, thank you very much for your share, and I'll leave it. Thank you.
Very sorry for your loss and at a young age as well. And thank you for the question. You know, there's no right or wrong way to do steps. You know, I know I in my experience, for me, I was lagging on step four. I've heard a lot of people that slow it up at step four, and then they find if they get another sponsor, they get to go back to step one. And so it's a way to kind of avoid it. My sponsor, seeing that I was having trouble with it, suggested that maybe I didn't do a thorough step three. Because if I had done a thorough step three, then I should be set up to do a thorough step four. She told me that perhaps I was reading it wrong, made a fearful and immoral inventory of myself instead of the way it's written. And, you know, if for me, when I'm working my steps and I've worked them more than once, and I set aside 30 minutes a day, 3 days a week, and if I miss a day, I make it up. So that's only 90 minutes. Now, sometimes I'm a like a teacher's pet, and I work a little bit longer, but I give at least 90 minutes. And for me, you know, about a month is the right amount of time to work on steps, maybe 6 weeks for me. But I work with sponsees that have been on step one for 2 years, and that's okay. They're right where they're supposed to be. You know, it's not because I don't have a heavy enough whip or, you know, or I only use the feather duster. It's not because we don't discuss it and we don't talk about it. It's kind of what was talked about before. Sometimes the desire is there, but the willingness hasn't matched up yet. And it's okay. I learn from all the examples around me. So I don't know if there's actually a designated time to work steps, but I mean, I think a month per step, if you're working on them regularly 3 times a week, is at least reasonable. But there's no right or wrong. Just as long as you're working them, being honest, and doing a thorough inventory, it's all that matters.
Beautiful. Thank you. Oh, we have Joseph M. again. Joseph, you have your hand up again. Welcome.
Yeah, you just came up with Joseph M. Compulsive Gambler, Smokey Joe, known from the street. You just came up with another perspective, darling. Is it possible, in your opinion, to work the 12 steps of recovery? To work the 12 steps of recovery See, a concept is back to step zero, but a context is moving on to recovery without the main man involved. And I didn't know you shared something I didn't know, and we have been on several Zoom meetings that you're a minister, ordained minister. God bless you. Is it possible to work this program or the 12 steps without your higher power, in your opinion?
I think it's impossible to work it without a higher power of your own understanding. I don't necessarily dictate what that higher power looks like towards people. You know, I believe that we are all made in God's image. So when people talk about this room as their higher power, I like to look at it in a literal sense. If we were in an in-person room right now, could 36 of you be a power greater than me? Could you stop me from getting out the door? Heck yes, you could. Am I right where I'm supposed to be, hearing exactly what the universe wants me to hear? Yes, as you guys, as my teachers and instructors, yes, so that could be possible. Does my God have to look like your God? Absolutely not. My God doesn't look the same as it did when I came in. And because we have a program that lets us have a God of our own understanding, what I got to do was come in here and listen to all of you speak about your God, work a step two, and find out what my God is. And that's what works for me. So I think that as long as you have a higher power of your understanding, you will get all the benefits of the steps. I don't think necessarily that it dictates who that higher power needs to be or look like.
Denise has got 62 months tomorrow, and I have worked with her immensely. I don't know if she's here now, but thank you, darling.
Well, thank you both for that. Is anybody here that has any other questions or maybe a comment for Jojo? This is the time to put up your hand or come off a mute. I want to again congratulate Gary L on his amazing milestone today, his birthday. And to you, Jojo, tomorrow, and to your husband yesterday or today. And it actually happens to be tomorrow is my mother's birthday as well. So it's a very big celebration day for all of us here. So thank you all for being here. And oh, thank you very much, Sue. I was hoping you would put up your hand. Here you go. Welcome.
I have this terrible cold and it's hard to talk and I don't want to cough during the meeting, but I just want to say, JoJo, you are such an inspiration to so many. I saw 57 hand people in this room today, and that is to tell everyone how important you are in this program, how many people you have given hope to today. And every day is a school day, and it is an education without a graduation. You are such an important person in this program. You give back what was given to you, and being of service, I feel, is so important for people's recovery. And I thank you. I'm so glad to know you, and I'll keep coming back. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
If anyone in here likes anything that I have to say, I learned it all from you. My own stuff earned me this seat. You know, I learned how to speak in this room. I learned how to share in this room, and I learned what I needed to talk about and what I didn't need to talk about in this room. So I appreciate that. But you guys have been the best teachers. So thank you. You can th all thank yourself as well.
It was so beautiful, Georgia. And I gotta say, I didn't put up my hand, but I'm very impressed with you, and I know you for quite a while. It goes back to quite a few years, and it was you didn't know me. I didn't know you at all, and we were somehow with another member. I was going to a meeting somewhere, and he mentioned that it was your birthday, and it's interesting. It was probably around this time, and you guys were having dinner with your family with a bunch of people that nobody really knew me, but the way you were right off the bat, who is that, Dan? Okay, invite him, invite him. So I got to sit at your table. I'll never forget that. It was an Italian restaurant, I think, or something like that. And I was so impressed at the way how open you were and how quickly you just let people in and you help and you're just kind and generous and nice. And those kind of memories stay with me. Those are, and besides that, you're doing so much other great stuff. But that really impressed me back then. And to this day, when I asked you, can you speak again? You couldn't wait. It's like where and how and so excited. I'm so very, very happy for that. Sue, you put your hand up once again. Or was that
Sometimes
accident?
I forget what I'm going to say, and then It comes back. But I just want to say to you and your husband, who's on this journey with you, and I always do that because when they have a significant other, they're on the journey with them. So I want to congratulate you and your husband. And I wish you both peace, abstinence, and serenity always. Yay!